Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I called in with this ICB problem with pensions.
Again?
Yes, because
you heard the ad? I am sure they responded on more than one.
I call in.
Right.
The person take all the information.
Right.
Nobody pay you back a call. Some of my former workers from a different bank went and get their money, but the money that's supposed to go to Royal Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you call the bank, they tell you no funds is there. You got bills to pay. You got to pay for medication. How do they expect old people to live?
Sir, it is unfortunate that we have tried our best on this end to have a response. And it seems to be, I don't know, a breakdown in communication between you and them, or between, and you're the only person with this problem, or the others? Is it a problem with your bank, or is it a problem with them?
It's supposed to be a problem from ICB, because I get through to the bank today,
mm-hmm.
and then to check, the terminal funds is there. But fellas from a different bank
have this.
Get money since last week. And this now rolling off from last month, and they soon turn it off for this month's pension, so I want to know what's going to happen.
All right, tell you what, the last time I tried to engage the young lady from ICBL, I didn't get through to her when I was finished with the program. Someone came in and said to me that she said to give her a call, but I tried and I did not. I got no response. I think perhaps my telephone number doesn't quite reach some people the way other people's phones do. So if you leave your contact information with the producer, I will try to put you in contact with the lady who left the message, and hopefully payment of pensions on time from people who live on fixed income, to me, is crucial. Absolutely crucial. Bills must be paid by discount dates, and every little bit counts. So I would not like you to be in a position that puts you to lose those little credits and that little extra that helps you from pension check to pension check. So leave the information, please, with our producer, and let me see if we could get in contact with the lady and assist you with this. Brass Tacks, good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, ma'am? That's all right. I know. Yeah, that's okay. You're allowed. You're allowed to put me on speakerphone every once in a while.
I didn't know that. Okay, good morning. Thank you for listening.
Hi.
A fool is a thing when you have a very interesting discussion, and I tried to call him, but it was late. And that discussion to do with medication, your age, if it's old enough to have treatment. And I find between you and the gentleman at the sticking was very interesting. I don't know if you remember the...
That was Mr. Gill and I. Mr. Gill and I were having a conversation about medication and cost in particular. Yes.
Yes.
I recall.
If you get a certain age, that then they won't think, or if you even have a disability, which you know that you don't receive health insurance and also how they limit you. I'm listening to this discussion also dealing with a person who has a brain tumor. commission. You get, you know, the treatment was there for the person. Then they refused to give the person the treatment. Now which you can't see. So I had to speak to this person. This is not give. I had to speak. Because now you can see that person is not fully there. It's not because we referred you to the head. You try to find different ways to treat her. And the hospital gets, I think they should have different follow-up with a person that has that sort of illness also, which leads to cancer or to being, you know, and there's no way you can get no information from the hospital who to talk to and just put you out there. The doctors said the surgery do a fantastic job. I have to compliment, but the person was a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
I know they can talk and think. And I find also persons that don't understand gives that person the wrong things to lose. And that person go. And because they say it heals. And you literally know that that don't heal the body. And it just got the family, and sometimes the person is good, and sometimes the person is not too good.
You know, one of the things that concerns me greatly, for persons who have chronic illnesses, persons who may be disabled for one reason or another, I'm not talking temporarily, as you know, someone having a broken leg or a broken hip. I'm talking about permanent disability. Everyone wants to heal. Everyone wants to have a better quality of life. Everyone wants a miracle cure. And when you're on medication over lengthy periods and you have side effects that sometimes are more disastrous than the condition you have, you're anxious to get off of it. So people sometimes stop taking medication for various reasons because, quote, it don't make them feel good or they don't like the reaction. And therefore, they're persuaded either by things they see on television, things people send them and say, you know, this is what we hear. They reach for miracle cures. And sometimes it sets them back in their work to try to heal themselves. I think it is important that family members, support groups, gather around those who have challenges to try to keep their spirits up as far as possible, because it does help in the healing process. I find far too many people either become despondent, despair, or even sometimes their family members give up on them, so they give up themselves. And unfortunately, I have to tell you that whenever people talk about the plight of persons with disabilities, you sometimes get what else it is they want, which to me is just, you know, the wrong reaction. I want to ask you, though, how are you coping in the current... I've lost her, unfortunately. I wanted to find out how she was coping in this particular time, because it must be a little difficult for... a little more difficult, let me put it that way. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, I'm David.
No,
sorry,
this is Dennis.
I'm calling Dennis.
Hi.
Hamilton Ashley calling.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I am sitting on the dock of the bay, sir.
Well, I hope the dock does not collapse, and I hope you have a fishing rod. At least catch a fish while you're there.
The only thing is if I cannot swim.
Well, I will make sure that there's a lifeguard close by with something to help you out.
That is why I call. Mm-hmm. I seriously want to congratulate your radio station for put it on as an excellent program yesterday as it relates to the COVID-19 situation in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
What first began as a kind of confrontational between two discussion between two parties turned out to be a very informative national discussion that cleared up some of the myths, enlightened listeners to a number of the issues as it relates to the COVID-19 virus in Barbados. And perhaps what I thought it was so well done that you had, leaving out the politicians, having a group of professionals involved on the panel. And then to balance it, you also had two expert journalists in David Ellis himself and also Sanka Price anchoring. And perhaps I believe that there should be more of these type programs arranged. Now, the reason why I said all of that, because I'm speaking on the topic of extremely good journalism and planning a proper in-depth program, I want to really take listeners back to a position when I was a former Minister of Social Transformation in Barbados, when I was directed by the Cabinet of Barbados to go on your program at CBC Morning Barbados and had to deal with two of the best journalists in Barbados at that time, yourself and a lady named Carol Roberts.
Gross.
I was expected to do just 10 minutes of that program, the last 10 minutes, and I felt very, very, very happy that I would not have to go through the agony of being interrogated by two expert journalists. That program that morning ended around 10 o'clock. I never forgot it. And then your question to me was, who is going to turn up at Deacon's, really, to meet with those young men and dispel any myths or notions and quell that situation?
Mm-hmm.
And I said that I will. I was more surprised at what time you were going to get there. I said it would be there from 7 o'clock. And then it's you and another, say you send a journalist there to interview me on the spot. Now, that's what I call about good journalism, investigative journalism. And that is exactly what took place yesterday. And to that, I want to really commend the Voice of Barbados for providing Barbadians with that kind of in-depth information, Dennis.
Thank you very much on their behalf, sir. And that's why we are always trying our best to ensure that we inform the public in an entertaining manner and to educate them. I thank you on behalf of the team yesterday and indeed the rest of the team here at Voice of Barbados. 434-1790-266-4862, brasstaxstockholmnetwork.net. Michelle Braffitt is taking care of things technical, and Dennis Johnson, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning again.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Johnson.
That's all right, man.
Greetings, man.
To you too, sir.
Greetings to Michelle and to the listeners. We are living in a world of uncertainty, of great proportions. This uncertainty in our education system, uncertainty in our tourism, uncertainty in our economy. With uncertainty comes instability. But how can we cope with this challenge? We do not have the solution to the future because we cannot read the future. But we know what our God Jehovah said about the future. But coming back to coping with this challenge, I just want to share a life story with you, just for a moment. There was a time when a hurricane hit one of our islands in the United States, Virgin Islands. And one of the brothers of the disaster committee went down to offer some assistance to the brothers down there. And he met a sister. And he asked her, how did the hurricane affect you? And she said, I lose everything. But yeah, she was all smiles. She said, look, I have these brothers and sisters. they come to offer me help. I have you. You say the same. God say, I will not abandon you, nor forsake you. Furthermore, Jesus' words say, truly, I say to you, no one has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not get 100 times more now in this period of time and in the future. I am not oblivious of the situation we are in. I know we are living in challenging times. But the statistic does not come close to the enormity of this challenge that we are dealing with. But yet, to help us to cope with this challenge, we need to have wholesome association who can give us comfort. So in conclusion, I would just like to draw to the listeners' attention some words that Jesus said at Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And this is to those people who are helping the less fortunate. It is more better to give than to receive. So by helping others with all the little resources we have, we will help them to cope with the present situation that we are in today and this challenging times we have to deal with.
Thank you very much, sir. And it leads me right nicely into this WhatsApp message that I have here. It says, I applied for emergency caregiver pass on April 5th at caregiver@barbados.gov.bb to continue to take lunch for my elderly parents in Maxwell, as I have been doing for years. Well, to this day, I've heard nothing from anyone. Good Friday, Easter Sunday, I was unable to provide lunch for mommy and dada due to the lockdown. Do you know of anyone, not in the government, who would have been lucky enough to get this pass? I am frustrated. Well, I know members of the media were given emergency passes. I don't know what other category or categories have been given. I do know from asking a question on behalf of someone, I was told that there were many applications received. I don't know how they were distributed, how many have been, how many are still pending. So I do not know what's the status of the caregiver passes. I hope, however, that you are now able to at least assist your elderly parents with their meals. It is, I think, a good thing to help those who helped you. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Morning, ma'am.
Yeah, in relation to the lady there, tell her she can go to GIS website and look for the address. I can't remember offhand, but the government...
The address of what?
Department, huh?
The address of what?
So that she can... to get a pass.
So they did. They sent it to caregiver@barbados.gov.bb. And what makes you think it was a good one?
Huh?
What makes you think it was female? Don't worry.
I don't know if it's a
female. Yeah, I know. But you said her, which is why I said, what makes you think it was a female? Well, go ahead. I know. People assume that's females taking care of their parents. That's all right. We guys will not object too much. Trust me. Go ahead.
Anyway, I was being funny.
Right
there, but this guy who has a disability, he cannot speak. He lives in Holders Hill, opposite the cricket pavilion by the bus stop. Right, they call him Dumb Boy. And I would like somebody to give him a little package. You understand? He really in need of it.
Okay.
Hello?
Ma'am, I'm listening to you. Yeah.
Okay, and to go on with the rest of the things that I have to say, I believe that many people are being discharged, right, from quarantine. At least the developers could develop a health app, so that they can put it on the cell phone so they can trace them, because it's a possibility that they can get this thing again, right? And you'll be able to trace it, because look, what is happening now, this 30-year-old guy who got this thing and he didn't know where he get it from. That's serious.
Ma'am, who says you don't know?
Huh?
Who says he doesn't know?
He said, I think they said that he just don't know where we get it from. I don't know.
Suppose he doesn't answer the question, that means that he don't know?
That's true. He must probably know, but don't want to.
Thank you very much, because they said one was refusing to answer questions. I find it strange that all of a sudden, a 31-year-old male and a 32-year-old male with no contact with people who have traveled or no travel history suddenly turn up out of the blue. I don't think, anyhow, that's just me not thinking, but I don't think often. Mm. But I would not assume that they don't know. I would assume they're not saying.
Probably don't want to say.
Possibly.
And finally, in relation to the interview that they had yesterday, right? I think it was a good one, but the only thing is, I believe that that should be discussed in a conference room or something like that, because I believe that this is supposed to be some type of ethics, and I believe that they would have signed a declaration to secrecy, and those things supposed to be kept indoors. I believe that if the medical team, surgeons had a problem, and you can see they were under stress and risk, right, in relation to the standards to the room, etc., right? And I tend to think that they should have put that information in a memo and sent it to top-level management, and if they were not happy, send it to the board of directors and get the matter resolved, because I could imagine pushing a trolley into a door that's not wide enough and the problems that the patient might encounter, and then having to maneuver in the room with all the tools that they have to use and stuff. It is the duty of care of the employer to find, to make sure that the working conditions is adequate for the employees. That is it. You know, these things are not good enough. You understand?
Okay,
because
ma'am.
When you go
ahead.
When you employ somebody, right, to work for you, they're supposed to provide the actual tools for you to work with, and the conditions should be right. Right? And sometimes these things can cause a lot of frustration, stress, and stuff like that. And you don't really want that to happen. We know the situation.
Ma'am, you know what concerns me? I gotta do this. You know what concerns me? On this program, as either producer or presenter, I hear people saying the government needs to come out and say this. Somebody from the NIS needs to come out and say that. Somebody over there supposed to come out and tell us what's happening with this. Why are we not hearing about this and that? The doctors and the surgeons at the QEH have a problem with each other. They should send memos and write letters and sit down quietly and talk to each other behind the board of management. Why is it we use two different standards when we're talking about public servants and when we're talking about doctors, when we're talking about people down by the fish market, and when we're talking about lawyers in this country? What is it about DR and LL, whatever it is, that makes us suddenly decide, no, you really shouldn't say anything about it. And banks too, or church. We even want to know what's going on in the church. What the pastor doing and with whom? Which member of the choir goes to give him lunch on a Sunday and for how long? But when it comes to the medical profession, hush, 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 don't talk about it. Why do we do this to ourselves? I don't get it. But anyhow, thank you. Thank you for your comments. I just had to get off my chest. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
How are you, sir?
Ma'am.
I am fine.
I just got two things to talk to you, and then I'm not very quick. You know me, it's a couple of minutes. I'm off.
And you're gone.
And I'm gone. Mr. Johnson, I spoke to my sister a couple of days ago, and one shift she did 48 or nearly 52 hours, right?
Mm.
And she ended up after sleep in the corridor. And when she, you know, she didn't even realize where she would, they wake her up and said, they need her. You know, and the nurses are working very hard. I know she chose that because she was doing, like, chef work before. Not the head chef, but in the kitchen, cooking, and she chose to be a nurse. I know you chose to do something, and when it gets hard, that's the time, you know, you can see if you can hold up or not. I salute the nurses, the doctors, everyone that work in the clinic, everyone that work doing the cleaning in the hospital, because without the cleaners, you don't
have a dirty hospital and we'd be sick.
So I am hearing, I'm fed up of hearing about everyone else, but never mention the cleaners. The cleaners are the second most important thing in the world, because when there is operating theater and no one to clean up in there, you cannot go and do the operating. So they are the frontline workers too, and they should get recognition.
I agree with you.
Because, and the next thing is the bank. I heard a gentleman talk about the bank. Mr. Johnson, as you know, we don't get no money from here. We don't get now. One day, it's happened to us twice. We went for our money, no money in the bank. No money in the bank. So I said, we mean no money don't come in. So we get on the phone and, you know, we have a free call to phone the UK National, you know, department. They said, your money is in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no. And, you know, we went back the same day. And because in London now, you know, they work 24/7 because of people that live outside of the UK. You know, they said the money in here. Yeah, the lady tell us, it might go on to Canada by mistake. When we went and said, no, the United Kingdom tell us it's here in our branch. Next thing, they tell us, they check Canada and it's not there, it's in Trinidad. I said, where are our money going all over the place for?
You know, this is something that, I'll tell you something about this that's interesting. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, mm-hmm. the, what you call the correspondent banks,
mm-hmm.
get tied up with addresses and branch codes and names and numbers. You'll be surprised how frequently it happens.
But it's 20 years working with the same bank.
Ma'am, I know that, and this is my point. Now, if, for example, let's just pick a bank at random. Let's say Barclays Bank no longer here, so I can use Barclays Bank. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have an account at Barclays Bank, and Barclays Bank used to use, let's say, Chase Manhattan Bank in New York or Barclays Bank in London as a correspondent bank. So if you had to send pounds from one place to the other, they would send it to London, then it would come to you. You know how many times working in the bank that thing scheduled for Bermuda came to Barbados? And when we tried to query why, it would take a whole weekend of the money just sitting here before they say, wasn't intended for you, was intended for Bermuda. Mm-hmm. There are times that we put money on international money markets in Toronto and earn thousands of dollars in interest because there were $1 million payment that came to Barbados that was supposed to be for Bermuda. Oh. I think what's happening now, and I'm speaking just from the current situation where banks have reduced the number of people working, the days they're working, and that kind of thing. I think there is a problem, and that's why I asked the guy with the pension about checking with his bank. Uh-huh. For example, Sagicor, taken over by a Canadian company, issued a check in U.S. dollars, or $25. The bank said they're going to hold it for 6 months. $25 for 6 months? And the bank, I mean, seriously? What, you're going up by what, carrier pigeon? Because I think this COVID and people operating, there's a guy who sent an email here, a WhatsApp message, saying that the post office in where he is, say that they can't send anything to Barbados because the post office in Barbados is not working. Now, no, ma'am, I just told him that's wrong.
That's wrong.
But that's what he said, and it's a U.S. number, and he said the post office say they're not taking anything for Barbados. The postal service in Barbados is not working.
But, Mr. Jones, you know what happened now? The United Kingdom department just have to phone the bank here and said, could you give the team...
The person, the money.
And, we went in and they said, sorry, it is one of the surname, one of the letters spelled wrong. You know, not no spell no wrong. So the gentleman have to check, because I'm not saying that his money was paid in, but sometimes your money might go on somewhere else,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, the trouble is, you know, but the English, they did it twice and... They said next time they will send somebody over here, I think they said, because one time it was four of us, our money was going all over the world.
It was on a trip. Hopefully it did not come with anything bad. Hopefully it came with interest.
It didn't come with COVID. Thank God for that. Okay, then.
Take care. Have a one. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Dennis Nasser.
Brother Nasser, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right, and you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. The family all good, too?
They're all good. They're all good.
Good. Good. I saw you today talk about competing. You know that you believe, and I want people to understand what I'm going to say, or hopefully, both black and white people and Indians. You believe that a great, outstanding human being of the earth, like Sir Gary Sobers, are not loved by white people?
And he was married to a lady who certainly was not of the same complexion as he was.
Right. You believe that Pele and our girl here, Rihanna, and all these black people that achieved tremendous success in the world, these top footballers and things, you believe that white people don't like them? I don't mean this to you directly, you know, Dennis.
I don't think so.
Let me tell you what's the problem, though. They look so clean. You saw black man. Look, today I remember before Lambert Motley, your hair is so considered naughty, and you're ashamed, so it has a wobble over your hair and thing. But you never would go bald. You would comb it, even though you ain't comfortable with it. You remember that? And then Lambert Motley come here with the afro pick. I used to make all the I used to give all the plastic.
The spokes?
For the... You remember that?
Yeah, still,
And then black people start in barbers picking up the hair and all kind of them. If I ain't for me in my young days, started to use contour, stupid me, thought my hair must look like a white man here. I going to see a shit. Your head man, I use the contour. I have hair pretty. You don't know that you got the better hair that's whole, moist, and thing. Anyway, let me explain what you're trying to do about competition, man. I am convinced that white people do not dislike black people. I am convinced that black people do not compete with white people, and hence white people lose interest in any serious development with them. Mr. Johnson, you believe that a cricketer wanted to lick on another cricketer with the ball? You believe so, Mr. Johnson? Eh? You really believe in two boxers in a ring that one want to kill the next one? He knock you out, but he won't get back up so that maybe they'll have a competition again. In other words, what I'm saying, Mr. Johnson, I want people in Barbados to listen carefully. The reason why black people are in the trouble that are in Barbados is that they will not compete with white people. And it seems to think that white people are the masters and the gods. White people are normal people. The only thing we compete with white people is education. And then as we get the job, as we get the education, we learn for a white firm to work in. The biggest construction company before Mr. Williams' company was Rearside. I challenge anybody, tell me which white man ever worked at Rearside. You think Rearside, they're refusing to employ white people? Do you realize, Mr. Jones, I tell you, I want black people. I want black people to compete. I want them to understand and have the money they must spend with black people. They must compete. The Indians and Barbados compete. They mobilize their resources and they use it to develop Indian community. And white people, they don't know, they lose interest in us, got to realize that we ain't competent, so they really ain't really care about what we do now. But the moment we start to invest amongst ourselves and start to spend our money with ourselves and so, and start to compete, you will see the difference in this country. You know, there's not just hear me talking about the analyzing and thinking. If you go in my home now, you will see on that bed a couple of nearly 40 books. I always going through books, checking, trying to find out why one race or one hit another race. They don't hate you, Mr. Johnson. You are not making any contribution to bother them, so therefore they don't have any reason to have dialogue with you. What is your opinion about some of these things, Mr. Johnson?
Sir, I will say this to you. It is unfortunate that we continue to view the challenges faced by our people through the lens of color differences, class differences, ethnicity. People are people the world over. And you will have those who exploit and those who are exploited. It is unfortunate that in the Caribbean, we have associated business class and success with a certain type of person because that's what we quote unquote grew up seeing. So if you grow up in a society where the people who own groceries were Syrians, you would assume that Syrians own groceries. If you grew up in a situation where Indians cut cane, you will assume that cutting cane is what Indians do. There's a generation of Caribbean people who grew up in that environment and came away with that belief. I think going back to as far back as the 50s, going back to the 30s perhaps even, with the start of the trade union movement and the education opportunities where people in the Caribbean of color traveled to Britain and other places and became professionals, you started to see a change in that. Unfortunately, jealousies arose and we figure small shops were owned by people of color, big business was owned by people of another color. And that's where these color differences come in. It is unfortunate that in 2020 we still have that type of belief. And I think when you sit and look at, and that's why I don't like looking at television, when you sit and look at news stories coming out of the capital cities of the world, and you see in the United States color conflict arising, you see in Britain ethnic divide because Indians own this and Pakistanis own that, and you still can't tell the difference between an Indian and a Pakistani because they look the same.
I know Chinese
factor into it because I'm told by my relatives in Trinidad that there's an even fight between the Chinese that were born in Trinidad and the Chinese who come in from China. I don't know how you could possibly have that kind of fight, but you have that kind of fight. Brother Nasser, look, the thing that I agree with you on is this. Support for your own does not mean not supporting anybody else. Support of your own does not mean ostracizing those that you consider to be not of your own. Because some of us will not support of our own because we figure they're going to get ahead of us in some race that I don't know where we're going. One of the things COVID has done and the fighting of this pandemic has done is to underline our reliance on each other. And it would be a shame if we missed the opportunity to grow from that point that we are now, sir.
Mr. Johnson, I want to explain something. You remember the Teddy Boys in England?
Yeah.
You see, I were competing. You remember, because the point you're making is valid. My argument is that people do not hear each other.
No, they don't.
People don't compete with me. They never run of any race all the time. I want to see you competing with me. So black people, I want to have a Teddy Boy and produce a point. So black people and barbers got to start doing like the Indians, investing amongst themselves, spend money amongst themselves, and let white people see that they could compete with them, and then white people make a different change. But right now, it matter. You remember in the Teddy Boys in England, because a lot of people Teddy Boy yesterday, you remember used to beat the daylights out of black people like that, till some Jamaicans decide that can't work. And then the Jamaicans start to beat the stuff out of them and look at them and kill them too, all the Teddy Boys was to stop. Because the Jamaicans decide to compete, I'm not running from you. You kill me, I kill you. The point is, I love you, you love me. The point is, Mr. Johnson, that as long as black people do not understand that their future depends on who they spend and invest their resources with, the more they're going to be in trouble.
Fair enough, sir.